And if you could just talk briefly about what your book is about and why do you think it was important to get that story out there?
What we found was, as we looked at this, we've gone from a position right after the 9/11 attacks where the U.S. really didn't know very much about al-Qaeda or terrorist networks and addressed it very ham-handedly, and to a point where they also, the instinctive reaction, perhaps understandably after 9/11, was to try and use military forces, intelligence, to kill and capture its way to victory. And that really wasn't successful. So what we do is we track how the government became much more, much better at assessing al-Qaeda, understanding the network and how it operates, and then figuring out better ways of attacking it, not just with bombs and bullets, but other ways as well, going and attacking them through the internet and using other agencies of the government, the State Department, of course, using its diplomats more aggressively in counterterrorism, the FBI with more agents overseas, even the Treasury Department, which is responsible as the lead agency for trying to combat terrorist financing in different parts of the country.
With the 2012 election right around the corner, what do you think is going to be the biggest battle for Obama with the war on terrorism?
Well, interesting enough, I think we've seen the trajectory of troops are coming out of Iraq. They're supposed to be virtually out at the end of this year, although there may be a negotiation with the Iraqi government to leave some small number in as trainers. The number of American forces coming out of Afghanistan continues. So I think actually one of the bigger arguments we're going to have here is on the budget. Hundreds of millions of dollars are at stake in the defense budget, the intelligence budget, and the budget of the Department of Homeland Security. And now with, I think, people understanding the risks from terrorism a little bit better, understanding that while the risk of a big attack, a 9/11 scale attack coming out of the tribal areas of Pakistan is probably much less than it was on 9/11, the threat of smaller scale attacks coming from al-Qaeda's affiliates in places like Yemen or from radicalized Americans here inside the United States actually is probably a little bit higher than it was on 9/11. So I think we have to balance out what the threat is here. It's probably on a smaller scale, but understanding that the risks here probably don't require the amount of spending that we're doing, or at least we can, at the very least, spend a lot smarter. The only thing else we conclude in our book is that despite perhaps the likelihood of a large-scale attack being less than it was on 9/11, we still say there will be another attack of some sort, more likely to be a smaller-scale attack. And it's really the responsibility of politicians and leaders, political leaders in this country, starting with President Obama, to talk more openly about that and talk more about what we call resiliency, and not just the resiliency of rebuilding buildings and structures and things like that, but psychological resilience. It's like what the Brits and the Israelis have, and they've gained it over, unfortunately, long years of experience in dealing with terrorists, so that when the next attack does come, and we believe it will be, that Americans don't overreact to that, because that's exactly what the terrorists would want.
Thank you again for coming in.
Okay, well, thank you.